I needed my color-coded Bible for this morning. I have all my important things highlighted this morning. We're going to read out of Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, verses 1 through 16. There is so much here that we could be here for the next, I don't know how long. So forgive me, because I'm not going to hit on everything in this scripture this morning, but every piece here is so important. Some of them I'll just barely mention, and then we'll move ahead. And Paul is writing this to the Ephesian church. Unity in the body of Christ is the topic that this comes under. And listen closely to what he says. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unto the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and that we become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I want to start here at the back part here and think about a body for a moment. I want you to start envisioning yourself as something. Nancy, you are some flesh. Mark, you are some blood vessels. Shirley, you're a ligament. And we go on. Marissa, you're the humerus. Jamie, you're the phalange. We could go on and realize that to have a body, you need a lot of things. A lot of things. To me, it's amazing when Ezekiel had his vision of the dry bones. And said, God said, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel said, only you know, God. But guys, that's what he's talking about. Those bones that God miraculously raised up, did it say it happened? They started growing sinew. They started growing muscle. They started growing flesh. They started growing all the blood vessels and all the cells and on and on. And it happened right in front of Ezekiel. And he said, this is what I'm going to do for the nation of Israel. That's coming, guys. That's going to come. God is going to raise him up. Raise Israel up. That's going to happen. Now, but I want us to get that point, because that's what the church also is called. We are the body of Christ. And each one of us has a different job. And we could stop and go through and start talking about the different things that I see you doing in the church. And that should help us to realize, but we need each other, okay? We need each other. I'll tell you, you start losing a finger or you lose a foot, it really changes how you work. Now, yes, sometimes body parts are missing, and we can still function, but we can't function at 100% like we used to. So we need to keep that in mind. I want us to recognize also that if, as we look at this scripture, if we followed this scripture, people wouldn't leave the church when they got upset, because they would be following this scripture. Now let's take a look at this, all right? There are three things mentioned that bring about the unity of Christ. The first one is humility. Okay? Humility. Johnny, what do you think of when you think of humility? Okay. Well, humility is actually some of the thinking where it's the opposite of pride. Okay? So when someone is riling me, I will not jump in, will I? Because I'm going to practice humility. Okay? I'm supposed to, anyway, practice humility. He says that if we put humility in our life, which is the opposite of pride, then we're going to be able to have the peace that he wants us to have. So that is one key that is very important. Humility. And I have to tell you, I think all of us have some struggles in some area of our life. I know that probably one of the best things for me, because as I was growing up and I loved to sing and I was in choirs and I just found that a wonderful outlet. And that was wonderful. God gave me a gift. However, he gave that same gift to other people. And some of those other people were even better with the gift than I was. Talk about a shock. Actually, I went into this singing team, and there was a guy that had never taken any voice lessons in all of his life, and he sounded like an angel. And he was a distant cousin of mine. And I had to get over that. I had to recognize that God gave him that gift the same as he gave me. I didn't want him to have that gift. I was prideful. I had to deal with that. And the Lord brought me up short and said, Robert, you're prideful. Did I like that God told me? But he said, if I love you, I'm going to discipline you, didn't he? So that was one of the things in my 20s that I was learning. Because that was just then. I was also prideful about the knowledge, because there were things that I had learned through all the lessons that the teachers had taught me that I could help some of the others in our singing group with, because some of them hadn't been taught those techniques. They were just natural good singers. But if they had to hold a note for a long time, how to hold their breath, how to breathe and to sing from the diaphragm, and all these things that were techniques that I was taught that the others didn't know, that sometimes they came in helpful. So, the other thing is, though, I had to learn how to use the knowledge in a way that wasn't prideful. And I think that that was something that was hard, that I had to learn hard. So, I'm telling you that because this is what Paul says is very important when we are going to have the peace that God wants us to have, the bond of peace that we find in verse 3. The unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay? He also said, be gentle. Gentle. All right. Jamie, gentle. What do you think of when you hear the word gentle? Okay, puppies. Soft, cuddly things. A placid lake. Calmness, gentleness, yeah. A gentle breeze. Love those gentle breezes where it's not in the awning over, the roof off your house, or whatever. Gentle. We are called to be gentle. Now, was Jesus always gentle? There's a time to be gentle, and there's a time to have righteous anger. Okay? We need to be careful that it's not self-righteous anger. There's a big difference between righteous anger and self-righteous anger. Okay? We need to, when you think of those soft, cuddly things, I love to hold a little puppy when they're so cute. And when they're first born and they have no hair hardly, and they are really so cute, and you want to just hold them and keep them warm. And that's the kind of thing that God wants us to be towards each other and towards the world. What a beautiful description. And then he says there's one other thing. We need to bear with each other in love. Okay? Bear with each other in love. So, if I step on someone's toes, maybe I didn't even mean it. And we have to stop and think about that. And we have to decide whether it's something that we need to address. Because sometimes we decide that we want to be patient to the point that we ignore sin. We should not ignore sin. God said that He is righteous. His people are to be righteous. And if there is someone who's not following that, we have to, in love, gently confront. It makes me sick to confront. Physically. Ask my wife. She can tell you how many trips to the bathroom I make when I've had to do a confrontation. I've gotten used to that. She's gotten used to it too. But what I'm trying to get us to see is that there is supposed to be a unity of spirit through the bond of peace. And if we don't practice these three things, it's not going to happen. Last week I heard Pastor John Mark Kaminga share about how if we don't love in the church, how on earth is the world going to want to be a part of us? If I can't love you, Nancy, sitting here, how am I going to love some stranger? Right? So I better be able to love you. And I do love you, Nancy. And that goes for each of you that are here. I do love you. All right. He goes on to point out that because there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, that this is why we should be practicing these things. This is why we should be gentle and humble and bearing with one another, patient, kind, all of these things. And remember, those are the fruit of the Spirit. So if the Spirit's living in us, there should be some evidence of these things. If there's not, it should be a warning light going off in your head. All right. Now we're just going to touch, because we're already, I don't know how long I've talked, but we're already way past. I wanted to touch on this next part, because this again is something that the Lord had to work with me. As I started seeing people and started seeing the Lord give me gifts, it was a struggle for me. I would compare myself as a pastor to other pastors. What does that sound like? Pride. Again. It's not a comparison. I am who God created me to be. I am gifted as God gifted me. And I'm telling you, there's other preachers out there that can preach better than I can. There's other pastors out there that love better than I do. As much as I hate to admit it. But the Lord called me here, to this congregation. And so I'm here. When He tells me to get out, hopefully I'm going to be listening. Or you will be listening. But He gave each of us gifts. And He lists some of these. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And I have a Southern Baptist commentary who, being Southern Baptist, believes that some of the gifts were done away with because they're no longer needed. And in my commentary it said, apostles and prophets were done away with because they were to establish the church. That's the Southern Baptist thinking. I don't find that scripturally here. I don't see an expiration on that scripture. We are still to have apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Then we also know that as we look at the other scriptures that talk about these gifts. And I want you to notice, this is one thing I'd like to point out. The NIV uses the word grace. Okay? But when you look in the Greek, it can be also translated gift. But to each one of us, gifts have been given as Christ apportioned. And I think that's a better reading in the context because He's talking about what was given. Apostles, prophets, that was given. Okay? So this is one time that I'm not happy with the way the NIV translated it. If you look at some of the other translations, you'll find the word gifts. Okay? But why were those gifts given? Not for me to stand up here and prophesy and bring praise to Robert. No. If I get a word of knowledge and I share it with you, it is to edify someone else. It's to build someone else up. This morning, Becky's overflowing with love meant that there's someone here that needed to hear that God loves them right now in this moment, in this place in their life. I don't know who it is, but the person does. That's how God operates. And that's why I say to you, just listen. If you get this feeling of something, share it because it's probably for someone else. And you're not letting the body get built up. So catch my eye. Do something. All right? I don't want us to miss what God has for us. So, I hope that these words are an encouragement to us as well as a challenge. Because that's what Paul was trying to do to the Ephesians. He was saying, people, God's got this wonderful plan for you. He wants to bless you in so many ways. He wants you to be able to help each other. He wants you to build each other up. And this is how God wants to do it. He was getting them excited to receive. We need to be excited and say, yes, Lord, I want to receive. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for Calvary. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Calvary. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming back to live in us. We ask, Lord, for your presence through your Holy Spirit to come, to teach, to guide, to convict. And as we go, let us remember that we're not leaving your presence, for there is no place that we can go that you are not there. Be with us and guide us and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen.